On this episode of the Nerdiest Podcast, we're going to be going over our top 10 TV shows of all time, as well as talking about some Nerdiest news like Kathleen Kennedy leaving Lucasfilm, and some more that you're not going to want to miss. Hello, and welcome back to the Nerdiest Podcast, the show where nerds talk about nerdy things. This is episode 170, and today we're going to be talking about our top 10 TV shows of all time, which is going to be really interesting because I watch a lot of TV shows between just normal stuff and also anime, but Jackson does not.
He has told me
his list is a little unhinged and a little crazy, so I'm interested to see what made the cut and what didn't. I have an idea of a couple shows that would probably be on there, so I don't know. But we're going to get into that a little later, and of course, we're going to do our weekly recap, and even before that, we're going to do our Nerdiest news and talk about some stuff like Kathleen Kennedy leaving Lucasfilm, which is a big thing that's happened this week. Now, before that, though, I'm joined by my co-host, my ride or die, Mr. Jackson Glass. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, what it do? I'm good. I was pumping gas today, and I guess this is a thing now. One of the gas station employees came out there with a tray, and she had blue hair and was missing one tooth. And she said, "Do you want to try one of our new pizzas?" And in my mind, I thought, I don't need gas station pizza. That looks terrible. But then my mouth said, "Yeah, that sounds great. Sure." And I tried it, and I took it, and I was like, well, now I have a sample of gas station pizza, and I ate it, and it was not good. So update to follow if I'm crippled on the toilet later this week. But anyway, I'm great.
Wow. But I would never. I'd be like, I don't trust like that, bro. That's how you get sick.
I was just like, that looks gross. But then it was one of those
I know a thing or two about getting sick.
Foreshadow. But we have some pretty big news today.
Big news.
Play the Jubba Jubba song or whatever it is, because Star Wars
Kathleen Kennedy is gone.
She's gone. Like, the big bad is defeated. I mean,
Emperor Palpatine has been chucked into the Death Star core.
I just see them celelebrating at the end of Phantom Menace, and it's like Kathleen Kennedy's gone.
Yeah, and this is the thing that everyone has been hoping for years at this point.
Yes.
And I think what's so interesting is, because I was explaining this to my fiance the other night, is because when the news broke, she was like, oh, is that a really big deal? And I was like, yes.
Yes.
Because, and then we started talking about all the stuff she's worked on. But the thing is, she was really more of a producer or just kind of there. That's why she has that's why she has so many credits on Indiana Jones, Jaws, Gremlins, that kind of stuff. Even though she wasn't directly involved in the creative process of those things, which is why when George Lucas sold Lucasfilm in 2012, I can't believe that. I remember when that news broke. I was 10, ready to go to school.
I was at camp.
And they were we're selling Star Wars to Disney. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. My two favorite things merged together. It was not. Little did we know. That's really where her influence started, because she got elevated to a more creative oversight role, and George Lucas got taken out, which is how you've now ended up with all this stuff. So you can attribute a lot of the bad of Star Wars to her.
Yep.
But you also, on the flip side, have to acknowledge some of the good, the first season of The Mandalorian, Andor's two seasons, as I've been told, Rogue One, the Clone Wars season 7, I guess. Star Wars Vision. So you do have to kind of attribute, not everything she's done is bad. It's just the stuff that is bad is either a majority, it's so bad, or it's stuff that shouldn't have been bad in the first place, like the sequel trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, she oversaw the entire sequel trilogy. Yeah. That should have been a non-issue. Like,
yeah,
that shouldn't have never happened.
Yeah.
So she is being replaced by Dave Filoni, who everyone knows, and Lynwyn Brennan, who I've never heard of.
Okay.
But both have been at Lucasfilm for a substantial amount of time. So it's not like they're just picking random people out of a hat. So obviously I'm excited about Dave Filoni taking over.
Right.
But then as I talked about this with other people online, something I recognized, and I think the rose-tinted glasses of the Clone Wars kind of
mm-hmm.
changed this, is we attribute all of the good of the Clone Wars to Dave Filoni, but none of the pitfalls to him.
Yeah.
Like, all of the good stuff that came from the Clone Wars, that was Dave Filoni. The bad stuff? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. That was some other random guy who we don't really know, and that surely wasn't Dave Filoni.
Right.
Which, you then, like, that same attitude gets carried with Star Wars Rebels, where it's like, oh, the really good stuff yeah. in Rebels is, you know, that's Dave Filoni. That's him working his magic. That's him yeah. doing, you know, the George Lucas protege type stuff.
Yeah.
And then all the, like, really bad, like, the low lows for the filler is like, oh.
Oh,
that's not Dave Filoni.
Like,
that's,
who did that?
That's someone else. That's some random guy.
Do you remember when we did our special episode live at Hollywood Studios years ago? And this is so clear in my head. And we're sitting at the back lot, which I don't think is even a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still a thing? Okay. I just haven't been in a minute.
Yeah.
But they, so we're sitting at the back lot, which is a great restaurant. And this guy walks by with his family, and he's wearing a shirt that says, "In Dave Filoni, we trust."
I remember that.
I remember you being like, if that's not me in however many years, what's the point? Like,
yeah.
And here we are now being like, oh, wait a minute. Like, now he's actually over it. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, I think he's going to do a good job. I think Star Wars will kind of pivot. I mean, not right away, because they have some projects already in the pipeline that still have to come out that are under her, like, that were under her tenure right. that still have to work itself out. So I don't think that's going to change, like, immediately or anything.
Right.
But I do think the future after that will kind of start to pivot a little bit. But the problem, and I think what a lot of people are rightfully concerned about, is it's going to pivot in a way of, like, well, now we're going to get a lot more Ahsoka content. We're going to get a lot more Clone Wars era content, yeah. like, which is not necessarily things people want
yeah.
for the future of the franchise.
Because Dave Filoni is also very much known for playing favorites.
Yes, like, he very much very plays much. Towards his OCs
yeah.
that he made for the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And that's why you see them pop up in other projects down the line. That's why you see Ahsoka pop up in The Mandalorian, and The Mandalorian pop up in The Book of Boba Fett, and Cad Bane pop up in The Book of Boba Fett. Like, that's why you see these things kind of cascade that way, because that's just who he is.
Yeah.
And he does have a lot of knowledge, and honestly, what I will give him credit for is he did do a lot of studying and a lot of learning under George Lucas specifically. So I do
yes.
think he understands Star Wars to a fundamental level that I don't think Kathleen Kennedy ever did. Even though
yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy also worked really closely with George Lucas, I don't think she ever had that fundamental understanding of it in the same way that Dave Filoni did. Because you can
yeah.
tell there's a difference between a Kathleen Kennedy-led project like the sequels and, you know, something like The Mandalorian or Ahsoka, right? Like, things
yeah.
that were Dave Filoni-led, and even though they're not perfect, they're not, you know, entirely good,
yeah.
or even Star Wars Rebels, right? Because that was still a Disney-era project. It wasn't perfect, and, you know, we do need to get better about attributing the not good things
right.
to Dave Filoni, too, because he's not perfect, but his understanding of the franchise and of the lore
yes.
is, I think, what really elevates him into a good spot and what elevates him into a good role for
and
that.
I don't think you could look at Dave Filoni and not wonder how much Reddit karma he has. Like, he rocks that hat. He has that, like,
that cowboy hat.
He rocks that hat. And he also has, like, this awkward, like, gamer smile that I just, like, really relate to, where he's just kind of like, he doesn't smile with his bottom teeth. Like, he's just like, And it's just like so entertaining. And I think you can tell he knows a lot about Star Wars. And yeah. So I'm like, yeah, this is a guy I trust.
Like, he show up on Reddit to be like, actually, let me explain to you how the Force works, buddy.
Right.
I'm actually.
So yeah, big exciting stuff. I'm hoping, and this is just like speaking this into existence, I'm hoping like in the next few years we can go back to covering regular Star Wars content and like actually be excited to do it. Like, that second part's pretty important. But, like, I hope that we can go back to being excited about Star Wars. And I don't think that Kathleen Kennedy leaving, like, it's not like, oh, my gosh, we're saved. Like, you know, in reality, like, it's going to be a while before it shifts, like you said. And, you know, Dave Filoni's not perfect. But I'm like, well, you know, if Kevin Feige left Marvel, then we would be like, oh, this is interesting. Like, what's this new leadership going to do with kind of a stale brand that we've just kind of been doing the same thing with for so long?
Right. I think so, it's also worth noting, like, this bodes well for even other franchises like Indiana Jones, because he's like, Dave Filoni is over all of Lucasfilm. Like, yes, yeah. Lucasfilm is known for Star Wars, like that's their thing, but you know, that also branches out to like Indiana Jones and a bunch of other things under that. So maybe right. We see some kind of Indiana Jones reboot. Like, maybe we see some kind of like animated series, which I saw a tweet talking about that. There was a Indiana Jones animated series in development that got canceled. Mm. Probably, if I had to guess, had something to do with Dial of Destiny not performing very well.
Yeah.
So
I know, I'd cut it.
That, yeah, I can understand yep. how that would get the axe.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe that's a project they come back and visit. There's a lot of apparently projects that have been put on the back burner at Lucasfilm, which I hope they just start making stuff again, because I feel yeah. like they hit a point where the sequels really scared them out of making movies.
Yeah.
And they just stopped.
And they were like, okay, we need to make shows. And they're like, okay, so movies are too risky, so let's make like a $3 billion show called The Acolyte, and everyone's going to love it. And then they were like,
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Oh, crap. This is the biggest flop in human history. So we need Ryan Gosling. We need Ryan Gosling in a starfighter. And it's just, so I'm just like,
which apparently has a lightsaber duel, by the way.
Which I'm so excited. Like, that movie looks good. Like, you could disagree if you want. I'm so excited for the Ryan Gosling Star Wars movie. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping that they can just do more. Like, I want them to make shows I'm excited to watch. I want them to make movies I'm excited to watch. I want another show for my top 10. Like, come on. Like, make something really good. Just cook for me, please. I want a Star Wars movie in, like, my top 3 ranking for the year. Like, for the love of God. Like, if I could sit in a movie theater and feel like I'm watching a good Star Wars movie, I mean, I'd go back and see it 3 times and then buy the Blu-ray. Like, it's over. But yeah, moving on into more news. There has been the official release of our first look at Lego Pokemon.
Have you seen the prices for these things?
I looked them up right before.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. So they did 3 sets, right?
So they did 3 sets. They did an Eevee, a Pikachu, and then it's Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise. Sorry, guys. I don't know Pokemon. That's not my thing.
That's not our thing.
But Lego is my thing, so I'll cover it. Right. I'm also really covering it because it's kind of wild that we live in a climate where Lego thinks they can get away with this. Like,
so the Pikachu set, which I'll admit, I think is pretty cool. Like, it's definitely meant to be at the top of a shelf. It's definitely meant like it's like that model set, and it's Pikachu, and he's jumping out of a Pokeball, and he has the lightning. It's awesome, but it's $200.
Yeah,
and it looks kind of small.
Now, granted,
it's about 2,000 pieces.
It is 2,000 pieces, so it does fit that like 10 cents per piece.
Yeah.
Which was usually, that used to be the measurement, like the standard of how many pieces, is it 10 cents per piece? You can kind of factor in minifigures and stuff, but that's irrelevant for these. Like the EV one is 587 pieces and it's $60. So that's a little over just because it's less pieces, but it's still like that's a pretty reasonable, like they're not going to get $58. You just round up.
Like, I look at this set, and I'm kind of like, $40. Like, it feels like a $45 one, the Eevee one.
Oh, yeah. I think all of these could have been to be reduced maybe 30 to 40%
on their price. And then the triple pack is what I'm just, like, floored by. Because this is it has 6,800 pieces, and is $650.
No, there's no way.
$150. Now, it's awesome. It's a great set. I think they did an awesome job on it. It looks really good. It's like you can like rearrange it in different ways. Like they could like to make it to display it differently. It looks like on the site it says fully built. It's about 20 by 21 inches. Like so, it's big. But I'm also like, is it $650 big?
I mean, that makes sense. Like, it's got to be pretty massive. Because, you know, sometimes, like, when you buy a Lego set, you're like, oh, yeah, that's worth it. Like, that's how I felt about the Deku Tree, the Zelda one, was, like, I looked at that and I was like, yeah, when I finished the build, that was worth the $300 that I paid for it.
Right.
Like, okay. But, like, people pointed out the... Which, it's always so funny to see non-LEGO people talk about LEGO prices. Yeah. Because they just, like, don't understand how expensive sets are and have continued to become since we were kids. But even, like, especially licensed stuff, like...
Yeah.
I'm not here to defend the prices.
No.
Right?
Absolutely not.
I'm not here to tell you that I think $650 is okay... Because it's like, it's kind of like, should it really? But then people point out, like, well, you could get a Switch 2, a copy of Pokemon Legends ZA, and the DLC, and still come up cheaper than the $650 LEGO set.
Yeah.
Like.
And that's the perspective that makes you go, like, oh.
That's what makes you think, is it really worth $650? Like.
And, like, I was at the LEGO store, like, a few weeks ago. Just like we literally made a trip specifically to go to the Lego store, and I was looking at what I feel like they're really stealing your money is the city sets. Lego City used to be like this really affordable, cool thing that could be like an expansive world that you did on your own. And now it's like, well, the, you know, street cleaner truck that has one minifigure and is just the truck, there's no additional anything, is freaking $40.
Yep.
And I'm like...
And you can't say, oh, we had to raise the prices of our non-licensed sets like City, Creator, Ninjago to offset keeping the prices on the licensed stuff lower. Because then you have stuff like this that's $650 or the Star Wars sets that... cost you an arm, a leg, and a kidney to get maybe one special edition clone trooper figure. Right. Like,
and then they released that freaking Death Star thing that was like,
oh, dude,
so ugly, and it was like $1,000 and was two dimensional. Like, I don't know.
Death Star, I got so excited because I was like, oh, I'm an adult. I have adult money. I can finally get the Lego Death Star. Wrong.
And you're like, no. I'm going to get this before I, like, am smart enough to not. Like, I have to go for it. My dad always says, he's like, one of these days, I'm going to do it. He's like, I'm going to get the Death Star. And I'm like, yeah, that's, you do that, buddy. Like, it's going to happen for you. Like, I'm sure. But it's one of those, like, you know, When are you young and dumb enough to buy the $1,000 Lego Death Star? Like,
I need to do that with the Millennium Falcon. I need to just take the money out of my savings, buy it, and then just leave it boxed up.
Yep.
Like,
just to have, you know?
Just to have, and then I'll do something with it later. You know what I mean? Like, I'll find a place for it, or I won't open it until I have my first kid and they're old enough to help me with it. You know what I mean? Like,
or maybe it's like, you know, if I got my doctorate, I'd be like, I am Dr. Jackson. I can buy the Lego Death Star if I want to. Like,
well,
you know,
not with that kind of, not with that kind of student loan debt.
Well, I mean, you know, if I'm a doctor, I better be getting some more money. But like, you know, I'm. If you think the you know, I got a freaking C in biology. Like, this is not me. But also, on the Lego topic, new Lego Zelda set revealed.
This news just dropped today. Praise God.
Praise him from whom all blessings flow. Also, like,
not bonkers expensive.
Also, can I just say, like, most news drops, like, 30 minutes after we stop recording.
It's
so,
true.
Like, this coming out before was just so wonderful. But, yeah, man, this is a great set.
I'm going to be there day one.
It's a really freaking great set.
I'll be at the Lego store March 1st, dog. I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be like, really let me in.
I'm trying to find a picture of it now.
Oh, I'm just straight up on the Lego website.
Yeah, I can't find it on the Lego website.
You can if you go
to Ocarina of Time. There you go.
Ocarina of Time, which tells me if they're branding this specifically off of Ocarina of Time, it makes me wonder if they're going to do more sets based on other games.
Yeah.
Like if they're going to do like a Guardian battle from Breath of the Wild, or Andres Restart talked about doing the dragon battle from the end of Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like that would be another really cool one. Because the Zelda series has so many good like final fight moments that you really could make some cool dioramas to fill all of that out. Even if you just did the other boss fights from Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
Like there's all these different dungeon bosses that you could go to that would be really sick.
Now keeping it 100, 1,003 pieces for $130 is like kind of not a great ratio,
but it's
also
licensed.
It's licensed.
So
it's a really cool set. I think they designed it super well. It's very like Legos have gotten very sophisticated recently, I feel. Do you
agree?
We're also getting really
two
good.
Brand new minifigures.
Yeah.
That all have like Ganondorf has a custom head and a cape, and Zelda has custom hair, and
so it's like they're like, hey, this is $130, but we're trying to make it as worth your while as possible. Like it's actually pretty good.
Like it doesn't look like this one says it's 11 inches wide and 6.5 inches tall.
Yeah.
Which feels really small for 1,000 pieces, but like...
But I mean...
As I look at some of these pictures, like, it doesn't look like any of the things on Ganondorf are stickers. Or on Ganon are stickers.
Yeah.
So those...
Those are custom tiles.
Those are custom tiles that are printed. So like... Yeah. I'm okay with paying $130. This does not feel like, oh my gosh, how could they do this to me?
Or you could also like, I think so many of Legos are also given as gifts. And so like, I feel like $130 is like, okay, a really nice gift for a birthday or Christmas, like $130 in my mind, at least that may be privileged is like, this is a really, really nice gift. $130 for you, and some kid is going to be like mind blown. Like, this is amazing. So,
I do feel like
good work.
I do really like that they are doing a like cheaper, kind of like halfway level Zelda set. Cause I know a lot of people are like, the Deku Tree is just too big, it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, but I really want to get the Lego Zelda stuff. And I feel like this is a good halfway point in terms of both size and price. So I will definitely be getting that and putting it somewhere. I want to put it right next to the Deku Tree, but it might not fit there. So I might have to find
a new
spot.
I don't know. It doesn't look too big.
I mean, it's only 11 inches, so that's barely a foot.
Yeah, it's not huge.
So I might be able to get it to fit over there. We'll see.
Yeah.
I've already started saving for it. I just got paid today, and I set aside like $15.
Like,
I was like, all right, you know, $15 here, $15 there.
That's
and
awesome.
it'll make me think twice before I go eat out at lunch at work, where I'm like, I could spend $15 on lunch, or I could put it in my Lego Zelda savings.
There you go. You
know, this is what being a responsible adult is.
Yeah, of course.
Speaking of being a responsible adult, Jackson, how have you been?
Gosh, dude.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Give me a weekly recap.
Speaking of being a responsible adult, I'm on the gym grind now. Ooh. And that's the newest thing for me is I'm also in my last semester of school. This summer is going to go insane. But, dude, I kid you not, I can't walk. Like, I can't walk. I'm walking like a librarian right now. Like, my legs hurt so bad. And so we've been going to this class. It's like an hour long. And we'll do like, they'll do rowing. And then they'll do like strength exercise. And then they'll do like a treadmill. And I kid you not, like, I checked my little thing on the app. And I was, the last time we worked out, I was like, oh my gosh, I burned 1,300 calories in the last hour. And I was like, that was a lot. Like, I may have gone too hard. And I'm right now, like, going down the stairs. I'm just be like, like, it hurts so bad. My legs, because the last time they were like, we're not going to do rowing. We're going to swap it up a bit and we're going to do double strength exercise. And double strength exercise meant 30 minutes of squatting, like exclusively with weights and doing like step up exercises. So like my shoulders are fine. My arms are fine. My thighs and my knees, I'm like, Lord, come quickly, because and we have another class scheduled for tomorrow morning. And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I asked Amy today. I was like, can you go? I was like, are we going to be okay? Like, cause you can cancel it up to 8 hours before. I was like, are we going to have to cancel? She was like, no, we're going to go. And I was like, okay. Like,
yeah. You got to push through the initial, like,
yeah,
shaking the dust off, like getting your body to physically move again.
Like, be okay with like doing that kind of motion, like,
yeah,
so, which is kind of the whole point, but also like it just hurts so bad. But I was talking to, like, this is one of the like really good things about being like in college is I know people in all of these different fields right now. And so I like asked one of our local nursing students and was like, hey, this hurts like hell. Like, is that bad?
Am I going to be okay?
Am I going to die? And she was like, well, does it feel like you're getting stabbed when you walk? And I was like, not really. It just kind of hurts really bad. And she's like, yeah, you're fine. And I was like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. I needed to get out of my workout.
That just means I'm sore.
That just means I'm weak. Like, that's not good at all. But yeah, that's pretty much that and the gas station lady's most exciting thing that's happened to me this week. Yeah, so that's that about that. Just doing a lot of behind-the-scenes podcast stuff that we're really excited about that we're hoping that you get to learn about soon. So, yeah. Mr. Nick, tell me about your week. What was up?
Don't even get me started, man.
I feel like we kept up pretty well this week.
We did. But that's mainly because we were supposed to record last week.
Yeah.
And then, so we recorded 2 weeks ago, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
And then I get to like Tuesday the following week and I was like, oh, I'm starting to not feel good. Took a sick day from work. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to rest it off. It'll be fine. The rest of the week was a never ending, what felt like a constant bullet hell of just one thing after the other. It was splitting headache on one side of my head, splitting headache on the other side of my head, neck pain so bad that I couldn't, like, I had to sit like this, and I couldn't, like, I had to rotate my whole body if I wanted to turn my head. And yep. I was like at such a loss for words. I was like, I've been icing it. I've been heating it. I've been doing like the Tylenol and like all this other stuff that I have to take, like all this stuff. And I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
only like, and my mom was gone all week too. So like, cause normally she's the person I go to when I get right. sick. Cause she just knows, like, right. you know, cause that's what you do.
Right.
So she was gone all week. So I was like losing it. And then she comes back Saturday and like insta diagnoses me with these three things and is like, all right, here's what you're going to work on this week. Boom, boom, boom. Right. I'm like, yep.
All right. There you go.
Told my fiance, I was like, we both need to learn a lot more because if my mom's not here, we're freaking cooked, bro. Right. Like, and I don't have the insurance to just go to the urgent care every time right. I get a snuffle.
Right.
Like,
because it happens a lot.
We got to learn here. Right. So
no, my
in
insurance
that time,
is horrible.
Though,
like, it's like terrible.
I was able to play a lot of Zelda. I Good. Made a lot of headway in Age of Imprisonment, so I'm very Good. Close to finishing that. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it before Final Fantasy comes out, which is unfortunate, but also it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, played that. I played the Animal Crossing update that just came out yesterday. So that's been fun to mess around with that. I didn't realize it until this update, but Animal Crossing really has just become like furniture home design.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
That's all it is now.
That was the whole point.
Because this like but hotel that the they added point. Where it's like, oh, we need you to design the rooms and stuff for this hotel.
Yeah.
So that like we can have guests come over and stay. It's the same premise as the Happy Home Designer DLC that they made us pay for.
Yep.
4 years ago.
Telling you.
Same premise. Because like in both DLCs, right? Like in both updates, you go to this place that brings you in to design rooms. And if you design rooms and you finish them successfully, they give you tickets that you can then use and give to a third party character who will sell you things in exchange for said tickets. And I'm like, how did they get away with this?
Yeah.
Now, granted, the second time around, it was a free update. So it's one of those, like, if you're one of the people who never paid for the other one,
yeah,
it doesn't really affect you. Like, it's kind of like, right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But then if you're someone like me who has access to it because of my Switch Online.
Yeah.
It's then not like it's I ever like played it, but it's like, this is stupid. Like, this is not what I enjoy out of Animal Crossing. Yeah. And I really feel like they're not going to pivot. You know what I mean?
Right. So, no, they're all in on what it is right now.
Yeah, they're locked in on, like, this version of Animal Crossing, and it's always going to stay that way. So, yeah. Which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. So, yep. Played that, and then I also rewatched the Lego Movie this past weekend.
Wonderful.
And I also rewatched the Mario movie.
Yeah.
So, double whammy Chris Pratt feature.
Chris Pratt
on Saturday,
double feature.
But that was good. So, that's all I've got.
That's awesome.
I'm still trying to get better from being sick. So if you hear me like snuffling and stuff,
right.
I'll try to cut it out and post and fix it later, right. But that's just giving you a fair warning now.
Wonderful. Well, guys, thank you so much for making it this far in the episode. If you're still here, we'd just like to say thank you very much. And if you like what we do here, make sure you subscribe on YouTube at The Nerdiest Podcast and also our personal channels down with the links in the description.
Oh, speaking of personal channels, sorry to cut you off. I did put out a new video this week.
Hype it up.
The talking about My Hero Academia's final season. I forgot
give
to plug that.
Hype.
That's
hype
what I was going to plug.
The video.
It's good.
All the links are in the description. Follow us on Instagram. And if you like what we do, a 5-star review goes way further than you'd ever understand. Also, just the best way for us to grow really is word of mouth. So if you're a consistent listener of the show and you feel like you have a friend, a cousin, a creepy uncle, a classmate, a coworker that you just, you know, can't really relate to, you're wondering if he has a criminal record, like just like send him The Nerdiest Podcast. Word of mouth is the best way for us to grow. So with that being said, Mr. Nick, we have not talked about our top 10 TV shows in 5 ever. It has been long
when
since
was our, do we know when the top
so
five
I couldn't
was?
Even I couldn't even find like Did we do an episode that was like top 10 TV shows? Because I was going through my notes and I felt like I couldn't find the original note I made that was like top 10 TV shows.
That's because there was never a top 10
TV show. Was it top 5?
It was top 5 because, so remember, this is what we've been doing, a little the behind the scenes baseball.
Yeah.
Episodes that we've done top 5 on, we've come back and done top 10.
Yeah.
To not only redo because our top 5 is probably different, but also add another 5. So it's not like we're just recycling the same idea, even though we kind of are.
We're doubling it and giving it to the next person.
So our top 5 TV shows of all time is April
4th,
2022.
Whew. Wow. Almost 4 years ago.
So... I went back and I listened to that episode.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was an episode.
It was one of the episodes of all time.
I wouldn't put it that way.
This was also an interesting experiment because, like we said in the beginning, Nick is the TV guy. Like, he watches all the shows. He watches all the anime. He has, and I'm the movie guy. Like, I watch all these movies. So thinking about my top 10 shows was so difficult. Because I really have not watched a lot of TV shows, mainly just out of, like, time constraint, and there's not been a lot of shows that have been interesting to me, and I've more just, like, fell into the movie sphere more recently. So my list, just spoiler alert, is crazy unhinged, very random. It's kind of just a random combination of shows that I've happened to have watched in the last few years that I love. So
I need you to go first because I'm really debating on swapping out my number 10.
Oh gosh. Okay. So my number 10 is at number 10 because it's not done yet. So far, I've been nothing but impressed.
Didn't expect to see Severance this low.
All right, you know what? this show's not done yet. But so far, it has become one of the most impactful pieces of media for me in the last few years in like a weird way that I think that everyone has been like kind of wrestling with. And that is The Amazing Digital Circus.
In
the top 10. Did not expect to see it, but we've covered it on the show. I did a YouTube video about it, and I think like digging so deep into it has made me love it more. And I'm just like, it's at number 10 because it's not done yet. If they just like fumble the ending so hard, like pull a Duffer Brother on them, then it's just going to like be so tragic. But The Amazing Digital Circus, like, just phenomenal. It's free on YouTube. Go watch it. We did a full live stream.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
To video. If you want to know about that, go back. But it's just an amazing show. So, all right.
Oh, dude, I'm so torn. Okay.
It's number 10. I mean,
here's my
you
question.
You can swap it.
If somebody locked me in a room and said, gun to your head, you have to watch one of these shows and the other one gets deleted forever, what are you watching?
Yeah. It's not that deep. It's number 10.
You're so right. I'm going to switch it. Number 10.
Number 10
is the hit anime of all time.
Oh.
Gurren Lagann.
Oh.
It is genuinely, it's only at number 10. It's a lot higher on like just the anime list. Also, for those listening and watching, I put a caveat on myself that I can only have 5 anime on my top 10. And this is number 5. So, there's... there's only four other anime on here. The rest, the other five, are not anime.
Yeah.
But no, Gurren Lagann is one that I initially didn't like, solely because of the ending. I don't know if you've ever watched a show or you've watched a movie where you're like going through it the whole thing. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so good. This is so good. And then you get to the very end and you're like, actually, I hate that.
Yep.
And now that negatively affects my viewing of like everything else I've watched. And now I hate the whole thing.
Yep.
So like Gurren Lagann was ready to be in my top 10 anime, like first time I watched it.
Yeah.
And then the ending caught me so off guard and I didn't like it. And then I went back and rewatched it because I was like, you know, it's been a couple years. Like, it deserves a rewatch, you know, the whole thing. I rewatched it, and with the ending not catching me emotionally off guard, knowing it's coming the whole time, it makes the character arcs and the actions chose, like, actions made and the choices made so much clearer and have so much more weight. And I think it's genuinely one of the best endings I've ever seen. Whoa. In an anime or even in a TV show. Like, I think it, for what it does, it sticks the landing really, really well and handles it in a way that I don't know if I would have had the emotional, like, gumption to write something like that.
Right.
Because it is one of a very heavy, like, we have to sit with the consequences of that.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that because I feel like a lot of shows don't do that. So, Gurren Lagann, number 10, narrowly beating out Parks and Recreation.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. That's why that was so hard.
Yeah, that is really hard. Frick. I'm really just like so back and forth on my number 9. This is so bad. This is hard.
This list should not have been this hard to
make. No, it should not have been that hard, but I think it's harder because I have less options. Like,
we have opposite problems. I have too many options and you have not enough.
Yeah, I need some of your options.
Oh man, it's almost like I've been recommending TV shows to you for years.
One of the shows you recommended me is in my top 10. I think you'll be happy to know that one of there is one anime in my top 10.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you'll be happy to know.
All right.
Nah, I gotta do it to him. I'm swapping an honorable mention out for number 9. All
right. Live edit.
Crazy man. Because number 9 is Parks and Recreation.
All right.
Just like, I don't know, like, everyone kind of, like, loves The Office, and I think The Office is great, but I feel like Parks and Recreation, it just has a more coherent story than The Office did. Like, it's not, I would say that, like, it doesn't try as hard to be funny, and it doesn't justify the medium of a documentary, which I don't love. But, like, I can look over that because I think the characters are so funny. And I think that the arc of, like, Leslie Knope and her, like, incessant need to be perfect and to do everything right to the best of her ability is so relatable. I feel like I quote Parks and Rec all the time. Like, I think it's so funny. My only qualm is I don't think the last season is that good. I think the last season fumbles a little bit, except for a few episodes that are really great. But yeah, Parks and Rec number 9, it's one of those first like OG sitcoms. And honestly, people like one of the OG sitcoms I watched, and people kind of dog the first season. And I don't think the first season is that bad.
Well, like, people do the same thing with The Office.
Right.
Like, I don't think the first season of The Office is that bad.
Right.
Like,
and, like, I remember watching The Office with Amy for the first time, and she was like, that's the first season that everyone hates? Like, are you serious? Like, I was like, yeah, it's really just not that deep. So, anyway, I feel like Parks and Rec has, like, one bad season, in my opinion. It's the last one. While The Office kind of has, like, two or three bad seasons. So anyway, that's my pick for number 9 is Parks and Recreation.
All right. My pick for number 9 is a show that you know.
Oh.
You've watched.
Oh.
I think like you actually, well, no, you haven't watched all of the shows on this list, but you have watched all but I think two of them.
Okay.
Which is crazy. Anyway, number nine is another one that I think I thought was going to be a lot higher, but then I couldn't justify putting it over any of the other ones on the list. And that is the hit anime Kaguya-sama Love is War.
Wow.
Genuinely peak romance.
Great
written
show.
So well. Everyone comes out of the woodwork to like bash Aka Aka Sokka. They're like, bro, he's such a fraud. He's not good. He doesn't understand what he's doing. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's a little validity to that because he is coming back and doing a completely different anime original ending for the anime. And it's not going to be the one in the manga. They're skipping.
Right.
Love is War itself.
Right.
Outside of all of that drama.
Right.
Is actually a really, really good show.
Yes.
Like, just hands down. The comedy lands every single time. The dub, hilarious. And
the dub
honestly,
is great.
This is one of those shows where I prefer watching it dubbed more than I do subbed. And that's not to say the sub is bad. I just think the dub is that good.
Right.
Like, they really make sure that the humor lands, and they make sure that, like, you know, all of the cast put their entire, like, they put everything they had into that dub, and it and it really shows in a good way. So I also think the romance is really, really well written. I think it handles that very well without feeling dry or without feeling like it's wasting your time. Because right at the peak of when you feel like it's being dragged out for too long, there's a massive status quo change, and then we continue on from there.
Yeah.
So I think if you really want to get the best of the story, I would read the manga where the anime leaves off right now, like after that third season, because that's when it kind of gets off the rails a little bit in terms of following the series. But other than that, Love is War is incredibly solid. So that's my number nine.
Okay. Okay. Good work. Number eight is a show that you've seen and a show that you introduced me to.
Ooh.
And a show that, while I don't feel like I could turn it on at any given point, I think it's one of the most impressive television shows I've ever seen. And I think that I have to just give credit where credit is due. And it's just genuinely phenomenal. So my number eight is Demon Slayer.
Let's go.
Yep. So I feel like I'm just doing a disservice to not have the GOAT on there. I feel like I'm not like the anime guy. I haven't seen every single anime ever, but like as someone, like as a creator and as someone that has done like editing and scripting and like some animation stuff, like I just know I'm like, this is almost impossible. Like this is so impressive, and just for them to like pull that off is insane to me. And I'm just sitting here like, how does this exist? Like, how did you sit down and create this? Where did you start for this? Like, this is insane. So I feel like, and also like, I'll never forget sending you that video of me crying to that episode of Demon Slayer. Like, I don't even remember what episode it was, but it was like in the first season, just like one of the best. Like, I remember, like, I have great memories. Like, I was in high school, like, hopping on a plane to come visit you and like binging the entire season on an airplane so that we could watch the movie when I was visiting you. Like, it was just like, there's those great memories with it too. So it's just like, it all comes together to be like, yeah, Demon Slayer is one of my favorite shows.
That's fair. That's good. If you, if you're impressed by the anime, I can't wait until you watch the movie.
I know.
And I can show you. I've seen some of the behind the scenes stuff they've done for the movie, and it's like unreal.
Yeah.
It's like, how?
I'm how? Like, how? Who sat down? What was the start of this meeting? Like, they were like, so, they do this and then this and then this. And I'm just like, that's out so outside of my sight.
Like, there have been like animation professionals who come out and are like, this kind of shot should have been impossible.
Yeah, no,
like,
actually,
the amount of moving pieces in this shot should be impossible for one person to do, but they did it.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. It's so good.
Yep.
My number 8 is not an anime.
Oh.
We will not have another anime for a while. It is a show that I grew up with that I'm pretty sure you've seen. It is one that I have a lot of key foundational memories with. And even though it, you know, it may not be a lot of people's favorite version of this series, or I guess entry in this franchise, if you will.
Okay.
It is mine. And that is going to be the hit Disney Channel original show, Suite Life on Deck.
Wow. That's crazy.
Okay, so I've seen The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, and I prefer Suite Life on Deck to, like, Suite Life proper. And a lot of people look at me funny. But a lot of that comes down to, I specifically remember sitting in our house in Florida before we were moving.
Yep.
I was, like, 10, and I was freaking out. But you know what? Darn it. I had my Nintendo 3DS with Super Mario 3D Land, and I was able to pull up Netflix on the Wii and watch The Suite Life on Deck.
Shout out Netflix on the Wii.
And it was great. That got me through the move. And then when we moved, the Wii was my uncle's, so we didn't get to keep it.
Right.
Because they weren't living with us anymore. So,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I was kind of like freaking out because I never got to finish it.
Right.
So I kind of just had to hope that they ran reruns on Disney Channel. And they did every now and then.
Yeah.
And this was like pre-internet, Disney Plus. Like this stuff was not just readily available.
Right.
So it was definitely a time. And it's really the only Disney Channel show now that I feel like I would really want to go back and rewatch. Yeah. Like, yeah, I watched Jesse and I watched Austin and Ally and Good Luck Charlie and Shake It Up and all that. But none of them I'm like, yeah, you know what? I really need to rewatch that as an adult now. But Suite Life on Deck, I'm like, turn that junk on. We got Disney Plus back and I was like, I'm in. I'm sold. Put me in.
Rewatched more.
And then there's jokes in there that's like, I have not rewatched it yet.
You should.
There are some jokes in there that are definitely like 2005 level jokes, like the one where, you know, Bailey's like, the wage gap has increased to something something, and Zach's like, way to go, guys, let's shoot for 40.
Yeah,
I'm like, bro, you can't say that anymore.
Has increased to 35% for between male and women. He goes, way to go, guys, let's shoot for 40. Absolutely insane.
And like that used to just be funny. Like it would it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a jab. It wasn't it was just a joke and everyone could understand as such.
Just so funny.
So I miss that kind of
it was unhinged.
I miss that kind of humor.
So freaking unhinged. All right. Number seven is a show that I consider this one is really difficult because it's one of those that I have to like clarify. There are two seasons. There was an attempted remake of this show that was two seasons that are I consider unwatchable. And I'm completely disassociating from those two seasons when I say that this is one of my favorite shows. I think that the first season of this show is maybe one of the best seasons of television ever made. Like, it is not, it has maybe the highest joke to minute ratio of any show I've ever seen. It is just hilarious. There's jokes that have like 8 layers to them. It's meta. It has an amazing cast. It was directed by the Russo brothers, by the way. Absolutely insane, and that is Arrested Development.
Whoa, wait. Arrested Development was done by the Russo brothers?
Yep.
What? I didn't know that.
Let me fact check that.
I thought the Russos worked on Community. I thought that was their thing.
They did.
Did they do both?
They did both.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Joe Russo directed the most episodes of anyone. Now, of course, sitcoms have, like, you know, a million directors based on the episode. But, like, yeah, the Russo brothers directed, or at least Joe Russo directed, like, most of the first season of Arrested Development. And that's crazy. I was, like, when I was putting this list together, I was thinking, like, what is a show that I feel like I reference the most? Like, what show was so funny that it stuck in my brain forever? And Arrested Development is one of those shows where, like, there's just so many bits that I just can't get over, that I think are just, like, comedy gold. Like, they just mastered the cutaway gag. Like, Ron Howard as the director is a joke in itself. Freaking Tobias being in the Blue Man Group. Like, it's just, it's clinically insane. And I think that them doing, well, there's always money in the banana stand. There's always money in the banana stand. Just one of the funniest, like, setups and payoffs of a joke I've seen on television. Like, genuinely hilarious. So Arrested Development is my number 7.
All right. Remember when I said we weren't going to get to another anime for a while? I lied because I switched my list again.
Oof.
Number 5 and number 7 have switched places. So number 7 is the critically acclaimed anime Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Whoa.
Which might be a little low. It wasn't number 5, but then I was thinking, like, I have a lot more to say about what's in number 5 now than I do for Full Metal Alchemist. So I was like, yeah, that makes sense that those would be switched. But no, Full Metal Alchemist is, like, legitimately one of the greatest shows ever made. And, like, it may not be my favorite, but I can acknowledge, like, with objectivity that it is really good. And I need to rewatch it so that I have more to say about it, because I've only watched it once, which also should say something about its staying power, that I've only watched it once 7 years ago.
Yep.
And it's still in my top 10 TV shows of all time, and also my top 10 anime of all time. Like, yeah. The fact that it has solidified itself enough that it was that good to, on first impression alone, stay in my own zeitgeist for this long is impressive. Don't worry, guys. I will get Jackson to watch Fullmetal Alchemist. I have, like, an internal list of things I want him to watch this year. So I'm going to do my best.
Did we start doing that at one point?
We did. We got, like, 3 episodes in, and then we were like, we don't have time, and then we didn't.
Yeah, you can add that. We'll watch that one soon. Don't you worry. I thought that one was great. The What I Saw, I loved. So, yeah, number 6 is a show that I have so many amazing memories with, just because I think it's one of – Listen, I watch TV to laugh. Like, let's be honest. Like, I watch movies for, like, if I'm like, oh, I want a drama, I want a cool movie. But then, like, for shows, I want to watch a comedy, I want to watch a sitcom, I want to watch something silly. So this is a show that I remember watching my freshman year. We would turn it on, and it was, like, what, just genuinely one of my first tastes of adulthood was to sit on the couch. I just so distinctly remember every night. It was a nightly routine. These 3 random roommates I did not know, the one thing we could connect over was this show. And it was like, we'd sit on the couch, I'd have a bowl of cereal, and we'd stay up to, like, 1 a.m. watching Whose Line Is It Anyway? Which, if you've never seen, it is an improv show from, like, the 90s to early 2000s, hosted by Drew Carey. There's a reboot that's pretty good, but I think the OG stands the test of
Wait,
time.
Wait, I think I watched this.
It's...
I'm pretty sure my fiance put me on this.
The clips on YouTube do it just, like, they don't do it justice. Because, like, you have to watch the, it's so freaking good. Like,
oh, she did.
It's so funny, dude. It is, like, top tier improv comedy. Because this is the thing about improv comedy. It's either the funniest thing you've ever seen in your life, or the most embarrassing experience ever. Because you're like, this is awful. this Whose Line Is It Anyway is the best of the best. Like, I wish I had an HBO login to watch it right now. Like, it is so freaking good. And I've seen, I think, every episode. Like, it's so good. I just, like, I'd binge it. We'd binge it. And it's so funny because at one point, my sister, older sister, was house sitting for her friend, like dog sitting while they were on vacation. And she was like, hey, I'm just here. Like, if you want to come over, we can watch a show, whatever. So I remember sitting on the couch at this friend's house watching TV. This is what we watched. We just watched Whose Line Is It Anyway for hours while we took care of their new puppy. And now their dog is fully grown, and that friend is now my wife. So this is one of those, like, I remember watching this show in your living room and you weren't even there. Like, so Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's number 6. It's such a sleeper hit.
All right. My number 6, I think you're going to be shocked that it's this low.
Oh.
But it is a show that I've watched, and I don't want to say I've moved on from, because I think that's a little disingenuous, but I definitely don't watch it as much as I used to, and right. That is The Office.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching it, I think I was like 16 or 17. It was like I was finally old enough that my mom was like, it's okay for you to watch the adult shows.
Right.
Even though, like, The Office is really not that bad in the grand scheme of things. And I enjoyed it. Like, I binge watched through all 9 seasons in like a month and a half, 2 months, something like that. Yeah. It was a crazy amount of time.
Yeah.
And there's just something about it. I think it's always going to be the best of the mockumentaries just because it was the first, and it's the one that set the precedent, even though I think the latter seasons kind of struggle and there's some decisions that I don't entirely understand why they made. Like, why did you completely assassinate Andy's character? Why did you do that whole thing with like Pam and the boom guy?
Right.
Like, there's stuff like that that I'm like, I don't understand why you did that, aside from, we needed some drama to add out another season or two.
Yeah.
But aside from that, and even going back and rewatching it like I am now with my fiance, because she's never seen it, I look at some of the later stuff and I'm like, you know, it's really not that bad. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not awful. I can understand how if you were watching it weekly, like week to week, that would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an awful episode. And there are some pretty terrible ones in there in the later bits. But I don't think it's nearly that bad. And I do think it's a like cult classic for a reason.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll ever go off my top 10 TV shows, just because, like, you know, there were nights in college where I'm like, yep, I feel miserable and, you know, life sucks. But you know what? Let's turn on a YouTube compilation of, you know, best Jim and Dwight pranks or something, or, you know, a compilation of Jim and Pam's relationship, or Michael, you know, breaking OSHA violations for 20 minutes or stuff like that. Like, so I think a lot of my enjoyment of The Office now comes from those clips. Like, there'll be like a couple weeks where I'm like, you know what, let me go through and like binge some Office clips and just get back into it. And then, you know, it fades away for a couple months and comes back. So.
Yeah, I think my current struggle with The Office, because I agree that I think it's the best of the mockumentary world, like genre, because it really set that precedent. My problem is I feel like all of the, like, looking back at it and going back now, I'm kind of like, man, like, all of the characters are horrible. Like, they're all terrible people. And I think that, like, really, ever since I got married, like, I've been way more hyper aware of, like, the morality of...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like, TV characters, which sounds weird to say, but I'm like, I remember watching that season, spoilers for The Office, if you care, but you shouldn't, where it's like, you know, Andy and Angela are engaged, but she's cheating on him with Dwight. But they're just like putting this whole charade on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, am I supposed to root for these people? Like, this is insane. But like, I love Michael. I love Jim and Pam, even though Jim was like flirting with an engaged woman, like this whole, like,
yeah,
there's just like
maybe
so
don't do that.
Much, there's just so much that like I've recently kind of like come to terms with where I'm like, oh, this is kind of horrible. Like, you guys are terrible people, which doesn't,
my,
you know,
my character arc was realizing that I am not Jim, but Michael.
Yeah.
And that was only discovered on a later rewatch where I was like, you know what? Yeah.
And, you know, it'll always be the iconic Jim Halpert smirk. Like, it'll always be the, like, the look at the camera and the, you know, it'll always be that. But, like, that's not The Office for me. Like, it'll be in an honorable mention. But anyway, my number five is a show that really, like, I kind of... It'll sound weird, but it's a show I kind of forget about. But I spent so many late nights watching this show, going through it, kind of like my high school years, where there was a point in my life where it was like my older sister went to college, and so it was like she was kind of like who I'd watch TV with at night. So like she wasn't there, and then my mom would go to bed, so I just kind of like watched whatever I want. Like, so this was a show where like I spent so many late nights like eating snacks and just watching this show like super late into the wee hours of the morning. And I like read a book about the production of this show when I was hiking through Colorado. Like, it's just kind of like there's a lot of great sensory memories with the show. It's one of the longest running television shows of all time. And I've seen 10 seasons of it. And so my number five is The Simpsons. So I kind of forget about The Simpsons because it's still going. And one day I'm going to get to, because there is a canonical ending to The Simpsons, and it's the Christmas episode of season 23 is when they thought they were going to get canceled. The show was going to get cut. So they wrote a canonical finale just in case. And so the Christmas episode of that season is the finale. And then they got more funding. And so there's just so many like amazing stories from that show. It kind of like set the precedent for like air quote adult animation. But I think that's such an oversimplification of what The Simpsons was doing in its original run. I think it was somewhat of a parody of the original family sitcom, and it's kind of, you know, it's become flanderized to use its own term against itself. Like, all the characters are flanderized, like they're just kind of their own characteristics, whatever. But like, it is, those original seasons of The Simpsons are pure like sitcom magic. Done in this crazy animation style. There's crazy cameos. It's like wacky. It's funny. It's concise. You never know what's going on. All of The Simpsons, it was like S tier writers like Conan O'Brien and like just these crazy, like just awesome show. Just genuinely hilarious. My favorite story from making The Simpsons was Michael Jackson came to be on an episode of The Simpsons, and he showed up to their studio. He was there, but he brought another guy with him, and they were like, okay, Michael, like, are you ready to record? And he said, yeah. And the other guy went in the booth, and they were like, well, Michael, we need you to do the cameo. And he said, no, this is my voice double. And they were like, why did you come and then bring a voice double if you're here? Why don't you just do it? And he was like, no, this is my guy.
He's like, no, I don't do that.
I don't do that. He was there to watch the guy, but he didn't do it. And they're like, they wrote it about it in this book. I read this whole book about the production. It was so interesting.
I wonder how successful we have to be to get voice doubles.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at what point can we just
then
be like...
Then they can just record the episodes for
no
us.
More video podcast. Like, we're, you know, I'm making an AI voice profile, and it's just gonna, like, regurgitate whatever...
They'll never know it's not me.
...is on the top of, you know, threads. But, yeah. So, The Simpsons hits my top five, which is crazy.
All right. My number five is a show from ye olden days of the childhood that has somehow been kept alive like Frankenstein's monster by those who created it, because honestly, it makes a little too much money and quite nothing's taken off like this one has. And that is our 15-year-old darling Lego Ninjago, Masters of Spinjitzu.
Oof. Classic.
Honestly, the show that like kind of was a, it wasn't the first domino, but like in that meme where the guy is like tipping the dominoes and it gets to the really big one.
Yeah.
Ninjago's probably like domino two or three.
Right.
In like me going from being a child to going to film school.
Right.
Because it kind of just kept fueling that boundless like imagination and creativity, and I always wanted to do my own Ninjago stuff, which is how I ended up writing a 8-episode Ninjago fan fiction that I'm sure we'll read at some point. So I don't know. It's like such a really solid show, and I haven't watched any of the new stuff. What I have seen, I have not been super impressed with. And of course everyone's like, well, you know, you're just getting old and you're just upset that like the, you know, so it's like a old man screaming at clouds type thing. And I'm like, maybe it is, but like, can you blame the old man when he's the one who watched the clouds get made and now the clouds aren't the same like color or shape or like even animation style anymore? It's like, no, well, that's not a cloud, that's something else. So it just, it really, like, I haven't seen any of the newer stuff, but the original, like, seasons 1 through 10, I think is a really solid show. And it says a lot how Ninjago itself is able to bring in all of these wacky concepts every season. Like, we go from actually kind of grounded, like, okay, there's snakes and there's skeletons. And then we get, like, the Overlord, and like, okay, that's cool. And then they start bringing in, like, there's Terminators, and then there's a secret mafia fight club on an island, and then there's ghosts, and then there's time-traveling sky pirates, and then there's just straight-up time travel, and then there's this gang who wants to resurrect Lloyd's dad, and then there's a whole... So, like, how they're able to just kind of, like, narratively tie all of these things together and make it all fit in the same world, I think is really cool. And it never lost the core identity and the core prospect of the show, which I think is my biggest issue with the newer stuff, is I feel like it's not Ninjago anymore.
No, it's not. You know what I mean? I feel like, would you say after the movie it lost the sauce?
I don't think so, because after the movie we still got like all the Sons of Garmadon stuff. Like, I would argue that's some of the best stuff. I think it started losing its identity when the Hegman brothers walked away after season 10. Because they were very open and very honest, like, hey, this is our last thing, but the person we're putting in charge has worked with us on these last three seasons, so they have a pretty like solid understanding of what's going on. And I think he did.
Yeah.
But then also I think there's been a lot of meddling, which we've known this, that this is not new information. There's a lot of meddling from LEGO to just kind of keep Ninjago going in perpetuity, because none of their other brands took off the way Ninjago did. Nexo Knights, Chima, Monkey Kid, Dreams, like nothing ever took off in that way.
Right.
For Ninjago to be sunsetted for a new thing. Which then it's this never ending cycle, because it's like, well, if you never sunset Ninjago, you're, nothing else is ever gonna take over.
Yeah.
But you can't lose that, because so it's like a whole thing, and I don't know. Ninjago turns 15 this year, which I think is crazy. Because I don't feel that old.
No.
And that makes me feel all icky inside. But you know what?
Like,
that's my number five.
I think that's a great pick. As far as my number four, this is another one of those shows that was just monumental in building my humor, and also was the show that made me interested in animation in the first place, and was a show that I still watch every once in a while. And is a show that I quote incessantly. It is like, the you start quoting the show around me, And it's like, I can't stop. Like, we could go back and forth. Like, if you meet someone else that, like, knows this show, then it's like, we just go back and forth. And it's like, we're immediately connected over this. Controversial homeschooled pick. I know. But SpongeBob SquarePants hits my number three. I know. And here's the thing. What do you mean SpongeBob is in your top three shows of all time? Listen, when I told you I don't watch a lot of TV, I was dead booty serious. Like, I was not kidding. But SpongeBob, think about how meme culture and Gen Z humor was like, there's like an iceberg, and it's like, oh, Vine and, you know, Instagram, YouTube. At the very, very bottom is SpongeBob. Like, every meme that has ever, like, formed started as a SpongeBob meme. Like, it was the base level of the humor that we know today. It was so ahead of its time. And when I say that, I'm talking, like, season one to season six, maybe. Like, the first five or six seasons of the show are just, like, gold. They're so funny. They're so charming. The music is incredible. Great animation stuff going on here. The movie is phenomenal. The original one from, I think, 2003. I've heard the new one is really terrible. It set a precedent for my sense of humor, and I still love quoting it. I still think it's so funny. So, yeah, SpongeBob is my number four.
All right. My number four is a series that, if I tell you, this might ruffle some feathers here, but you gotta go with me. Nay has a series ever moved me, how do I want to word this? Has ever moved me more in my own personal faith than this series. Nothing has, like, pushed me more into my...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Faith than this show, which is funny because it's not a Christian show. This is not like, I'm not gonna pull out and be like, and it's VeggieTales,
right
which I will say VeggieTales is not on my list, but mainly because I don't consider it like a show. It's more like, it's kind of like a compilation of specials and movies and all that kind of stuff, so like, I don't really count it as a show. That's why it's not here. But my number four is Demon Slayer. I watched it pretty much all the way through what was out when it first aired, because everyone was talking about Demon Slayer, and, you know, episode 19 was super popular, and I was like, okay, cool. So I watched it, got super impressed with episode 19, thought that was really good, didn't really think much of it. And then I watched the movie in theaters, as you guys know, like 5 or 6 times,
right?
And then I was like, all right, hold on, this is kind of gas. And then The Entertainment District was great. And then from there, I read the manga. And then it wasn't until the Hashira training arc at the very end, that final fight. And I talk about this in a whole video called How Demon Slayer Impacted My Faith. You guys should go watch that. It's one of my favorite videos I've ever made. But I talked about how I had just gone to church that morning. There was this one verse that came up in the sermon, and then my brain, like freaking clockwork, immediately when I watched that episode, put those two things together, and it, like, boom, put them together. And then once I made that connection, it recontextualized the entire series for me.
Yeah.
And, like, showed this entirely different light. And that was actually the catalyst for my YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
Like, that... opening that door and opening it in that way is what got me to think, oh, there is some, that you can have some kind of connection here.
Yeah.
And it can work.
Right.
So other than that, I think Demon Slayer is just a really good show. I really enjoy it. Everyone's like, it's carried by animation. I think you guys, should let that one go because, one, last I checked, we want anime to have good animation quality. Like, I was pretty sure we could all agree on that. So, but yeah. Also, like...
Write that down.
Like, let's not act like every anime isn't just a glorified advertisement for manga. Like, right. Come on, guys. Let's be real. Every series does it. It is what it is. But also... I don't know. I think Demon Slayer gets a lot of unfair hate for what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like the greatest story of all time because it is kind of simple, but right. I also think it uses the simplicity to its advantage and does a lot more outside of that because it's so simple. Absolutely. Because the premise is so straightforward. It's not like Attack on Titan where it's like, okay, well, the premise is kind of convoluted, so we're going to like spend a lot of time explaining.
Right.
Demon Slayer is like they fight demons and Tanjiro wants to turn his sister back into a human. Great. Now let's build off of that. So I do love Demon Slayer.
Yeah. Demon Slayer is awesome.
Will forever be one of my favorite anime. So that's my number
wonderful,
four.
Wonderful. Wonderful pick.
Top three, baby.
Top three territory. This is crazy. All right. Ready? You know I had to do it. You know I had to do it to him. So this number three spot is a show that I think influenced my creativity and influenced my filmmaking in a way that I didn't think I realized until way after. It's so funny. It has its moments. It's not perfect. No show is perfect. But I think that the show was just genuinely on crack, like 24/7. And somewhere in there, we made a great sitcom. Like, it's just insane how they pulled off the show. I'll never understand. And there's some things I wish they did, some things I wish they didn't do. It's not perfect at all, but it's a show that if I'm like, I don't know, it's a Saturday afternoon and I just want to watch some TV, what do I want? My first thought, very first thought, and that's Community.
Dude, Community is my number three.
Let's go. It's so freaking good. All-star cast, Donald Glover, Chevy Chase, like Yvette Nicole Brown, like freaking everyone's so good. Like Ken Jeong is crazy. He's on crack in that.
He
show.
Has to be. There's like, no way
Danny
he's not.
Pudi, like every character is so weird and like wrong. But it's just one of the most like well-crafted comedies ever. It's just so unhinged. Like you never know what's going to happen next.
I think what I love about Community is it doesn't feel like every other sitcom.
No.
It's so different. It's so unique. It does its own thing. And it's okay with that.
Right.
Like it kind of pokes fun at the sitcom tropes and it makes fun of it. But then also, like, is comfortable being its own thing and having a paintball episode every season.
Right.
Like, and doing all of these different movie parodies and movie, like, motifs in different episodes. And, like, even going in with a differently aged cast. I feel like with sitcoms, like, you think of, like, Friends, How I Met Your Mother, even The Office to a certain extent, they all kind of keep the cast in the same like age group.
Bracket,
but then with Community, it's like because it's community college, you get so many different age groups of people. You get, you know, you get the younger ones like Troy and Annie who are fresh out of high school. You get the, you know, the Pierce who has been there for years. You know, the failed, you know, adults like Troy, and not Troy, Jeff and Britta, right?
Right.
Like, so you do kind of get this different age bracket. Yeah. And I think that helps because everyone bounces off of each other so well because of that, right?
Yeah.
Like, why am I blanking on her name? Who did
Shirley?
Shirley, Annie, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's who I was thinking of. Shirley gets to have this more like motherly, like mentor role. Because she is older than the other girls, but then like her and Britta are kind of the same age, so they kind of have a different back and forth. But then like what I also think they really do a good job of playing with in this series, as someone who's kind of gone through a similar experience, right, is the different belief systems and the different backgrounds of the characters.
Yes.
And I think they handled that as well as they could with, right, like, oh, Shirley's a Christian and Britta's an atheist and Troy, or not Troy, I keep thinking it's Troy. Jeff is agnostic and Troy, right, is Jehovah's Witness. Like, they kind of pull all these different things together, everyone, yeah, being a different thing, but that never stops them from being,
like, friends. Right.
That never stops them from being super close. It, like, yeah, they're still this really close-knit group of people despite all of that. Does that mean they're perfect and they always get along?
No.
No.
Absolutely.
But,
not.
And I think that also lends credence to that as well, because you think about, like, How I Met Your Mother or Friends. Like, they were all very similar economic,
yeah,
states, very similar, like, beliefs you would imagine and assume. And Community kind of takes that and they play with that, and I really, yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah. No, the Community holds back no punches. It's willing to talk about the difficult stuff, but also poke fun at it. It's just kind of the catch-all show. Like, how do you have this episode that's, like, really deep into, like, Abed's childhood trauma and how he always uses media to combat how he feels about his actual life, but he wants to do this, and then be like, yeah, also it's a stop motion.
Right.
I'm like, wait, what? Like, you can do that? And they're like, yeah, this one's an action movie, and this one is a Ken Burns documentary, and this one, like, the multimedium is just genuinely insane. And I don't know, like, how they pulled that off, but just, like, 10 out of 10, just a great comfort show. It is, like, such a good comfort show. So,
yeah,
it's my number three. So I guess I go back to number two now, since, yep, that was your number three. Number two, y'all can clown me if you want, but listen, when I tell you that this show came out weekly, and it was one of the only shows I would just, like, have to watch the second it came out, and it was during a time when these kinds of shows, like, were cool. So, like, number two for me is WandaVision. Now,
huh?
Listen,
okay,
you want to talk about multimedia? You want to talk about, like, using your resources creatively? Like, I would have watched six seasons of them parodying sitcoms. And, like, them pulling all those things was something so new we'd never seen from Marvel. Like, Marvel at this time, like, this was the first TV show that they did. And so to do, like, an ode to sitcoms through the decades was just so off the wall for what a Marvel movie or a show should be. Like, we were just like, how did you do this? Like, how did you? And then, like, watching it weekly is crazy because you're like, what's going on? Like, what is actually happening here? And I think that it just kind of changed my brain's chemistry in a way of, like, oh, we can do multimedia and we can do, like, episodic, you know, adventures. We can do this. But it's like parodying a format that we know and love, but is, like, subverting it in a way that I had never seen before. Now, my problem is they kind of abandoned the best part of it by the finale. Like, I don't think it landed well at all. It definitely didn't need a second season. I'm glad it never got a second season. That they tried to do the Agatha show, which just, like, genuinely have not heard a single good review of the Agatha show.
Me either.
But dude, WandaVision changed my brain's chemistry. Like, it actually made me just be like, whoa. Like,
baller video title right there.
WandaVision changed my brain's chemistry. I really want to do a WandaVision video. I really want the Steelbook, too, because I know they're going to, like...
I thought you,
like,
had it.
I don't know. I never, like, ponied up to buy it.
I mean, I didn't either, so...
Right. And so, like, just to see it through the decades like that and characters you love from a studio you'd never expect to see that kind of thing. Just, like, absolutely phenomenal. On the edge of my seat. Great cast. Just all around great. I wish the finale was better, but, like, it was too impactful for me to not be on the list.
That's real. That's fair. WandaVision is really good. I need to rewatch it.
I'll go back every once in a while and rewatch it and just be like, shoot, they cooked. Like,
yeah. How do you feel like it holds up with, like, all the mystery stuff?
Like, do
once
you, think
you know it's coming, because I feel like that was a big part of the draw.
Yeah, was
every
we
episode,
had no idea what was going on.
Right, like we didn't know.
I would argue that that's kind of where the show falls apart. Is they were like, I almost felt like they had an incessant need to explain to great detail what was going on. And it was like, well, why is she doing this? Why is that? And they were like, well, she used to watch these shows as a kid in Sokovia before they got bombed, and they did this. And I'm just kind of like, I didn't see why it couldn't have just been a creative interpretation of what she wanted her ideal reality to be, you know?
Right.
Like, why did it? I didn't feel like it needed to be explained. But, and I understand, because it's kind of one of those, like, well, I'm constantly reminded that this is Marvel. But it's just kind of like, I feel like the mystery reveal wasn't amazing. Thus, I feel like it holds up, because I can kind of just be like, oh, I'm picking out little details. Like, okay, this is good.
Right.
And I think that it was well done enough and entertaining enough to still hold up post reveal, I would say.
Well,
especially the Agatha stuff. Like, when you're just like, oh, she was doing that. She was Agatha all along. Like, that's crazy. So, yeah,
right.
Great show.
All right. My number two. I genuinely thought this was going to be my number one, but it is not.
So scared.
It is
so
still scared. At number two. Oh. After all this time, and that is the series that would be the probably fourth or fifth domino to fall in getting me to film school. And that is the hit anime My Hero Academia.
You had to do it to him.
This series genuinely changed my life in a way that I could not ever describe, because it's just, I don't know if you or even anyone listening like has that one show that's like just right place, right time. This was the right time for it to enter into your life. That's My Hero for me, because the first three seasons of the anime came in when I was like pretty okay, pretty like normal, everything's chill, just starting to get into anime. Like, this was one of the first ones I really watched, and then I picked up the manga, and I was like, oh, okay, this is great. I want to read the manga. But right around when I picked up the manga, I was like in this really weird, like really dark time in terms of like, in terms of like what I was going through at the time. Like, it was bad. There was a lot of stuff in high school that did not go the way I wanted it to.
Right.
And so just being able to have the manga to fall back on as this, like, oh, I can go home and read. Oh, I can go home and rewatch the show. Oh, season four is coming out in the fall. Like, there's something to look forward to. And then you fast forward, we get to 2020, which was a whole mess in and of itself.
Right.
That starts its own thing. And there was always weekly manga chapters. There was new episodes of the anime. Like, there was always something to go back to. And it just always being that consistent in my life, I think, has altered the trajectory in a way that I never thought it would. And it also just, like, is one of my favorite things to talk about on the channel. It's why I just did a whole video about the final season in and of itself.
Yeah.
And it's, like, also crazy, because when I jumped in to the manga, like, it was still, we weren't even halfway through. So, like, I followed at least 60 to 70% of this series on a week-to-week basis, which is why when it ended, like, that hit different. Because I was like, oh, the manga's done. Like, it's
over. Oh, shoot. Yeah.
And then when we got to the end of the anime last year, it was like, oh, this series that I so deeply love and care about and cherish is it's over.
Right.
Like, and you kind of have to be okay with, like, Horikoshi's gonna go work on something else.
Yeah.
Like, there's no sequel here.
That's so tough.
And that's okay, because you still have this incredibly, like, awesome piece of work that he did make that has just inspired and changed my life in so many different ways. So My Hero Academia, awesome. At my number two. I don't care what anyone says. It's a banger. So,
okay. So, number one.
Numero uno.
Numero uno. Number one show of all time is a show that came out very recently. It's not done yet. It's not done. But look, if they stick the landing on this show, I think it'll go down as one of the best television shows ever made. And it's a show that I don't think I thought I was going to love. But it was recommended to me a lot to be like, okay, I'm just going to give it a shot. And it turned into me and everyone I know following it weekly, discussing it weekly, not knowing what was happening, scrubbing YouTube for theories, trying to figure out what was going on. Like, it was one of the most community-based television experiences of my life. And I watched it a second time all the way through when I got married, and I was like, we're going to watch this and that. Just phenomenal. And that is the Apple TV original Severance.
There it is. I was only 9 off.
So, listen, you have to watch Severance. I think it is. Now, content warning, some language, some violence, some stuff. Like, it's kind of a lot. It's rated MA. And that's why it's not, I was like not expecting to like it. But listen, it is the most intentionally written, directed, acted, every like produced, promoted, like it is the most intentional show I've ever seen. Like, it is flawless. Flawless. Just a 10 out of 10 show, set up perfectly. The vibe is amazing. Soundtrack is amazing. The writing's amazing. Yeah, everything is amazing. Ben Stiller cooked. 10 out of 10. Please go watch Severance if you haven't yet. It's my favorite show of all time. Right now, we'll see if they stick the landing. New season 2027. Ooh. Next summer. I know. Could have been worse.
Holy moly.
Could have been like 2030, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. My number one. Last one.
Who's surprised?
Who's surprised? Being the same every time anybody asks. Number one, Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Yeah, baby.
Ba-bum. I'm going to make you watch that show one day. Thankfully, you're married to a Clone Wars stan, so this just got a lot easier.
Yes.
So
it's crazy we haven't seen each other's favorite shows.
Yeah, we got to fix
that. Isn't that interesting?
we got to fix that.
Yeah, we got to get those numbers up.
So The Clone Wars is just that show that has been with me kind of in a similar vein to My Hero, like that show that's always there for you. Even though The Clone Wars ended way back in 2020, so they're like... was not a ton of overlap between like My Hero and The Clone Wars before The Clone Wars just ended. And I do owe the series a like full rewatch. And I think I'll get there this year, cause like my fiance really wants to watch it cause she's never seen it. So I'll probably rewatch it with her, especially now that we have Disney Plus. It's just been there since I was, 8 or 9, like almost 2 full decades now, like 15 years, I guess, now that I really think about it. But like, I remember those early days of Cartoon Network, like flipping on the Clone Wars at season 2 and being like, guys, I gotta be home. Like, if we were out, right. I was like, Mom, I gotta be home by 5:04 Central. Like, or I'm going to miss the episode, like, because we didn't have a DVR.
Yeah.
So, like, just watching the show, collecting the action figures, playing the MMO online. Shout out to anybody who remembers Clone Wars Adventures. And also, the Clone Wars gave us my favorite Star Wars character in Ahsoka. Like, I nicknamed my car Rex because it's blue, like, after Captain Rex. And, like... So it's just like the one piece of Star Wars media that I'm like, it's not perfect, but to me, it's probably one of the greatest things they've ever made. And I know there's a lot of like nostalgia and bias in there. And even like, I would like, if we had to do like a ranking, I probably wouldn't say that, but like, as it goes to this list, right? It just means something to me. And I think about all of the different memories I've had. And like, there's a picture of me watching the premiere of season 4 in our living room. And I'm like jumping in the air, knees up. Like I went from like crouched knees on the ground to like 5 feet in the air. I'm not even joking. Like I just flung myself in the air. It was crazy. That's awesome. The Clone Wars is that guy.
Yeah,
it's that guy. Number one favorite show of all time.
There you go. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I think we will watch The Clone Wars this year. I think we should. That's the goal.
I gotta get you through all 7 seasons.
Gosh. Amy said she was like, even if you just watch the 7th, she's like, I want you to watch all of them. But even if it's just season 7.
No, but you can't watch the 7th without the other 6 because then it doesn't feel complete. You could skip season 6. It's not that good.
Okay. All right. Well, unless you have anything else to add, I think that's the end of our episode.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Where we love to plug our YouTube memberships. How much does it cost? I don't remember.
$3 a month.
$3 a month.
No, wait, I lied. It's $5.
$5. Inflation. It just went up. $5 a month. You could become a member on the Nerdiest Podcast, where we thank our member shout out, Retro Plaid Guy. Thank you for being a YouTube member. You are a hero.
You get access
to us
to the Nerdiest After Show, which we're actually going to record right now.
Right now.
You might be wondering, what is it going to be about? Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's going to be about Marvel. What the heck is Marvel doing? What's
up
with them?
Doing?
Why are they being so stupid? You want to find out what we have to say about that?
YouTube members.
Sorry, $5 a month.
$5. And that just helps us keep the lights on. This is a fully independent production, so if you love what we do here, consider becoming a YouTube member. And also, subscribe on YouTube. Give us 5 stars on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Leave a good review and send it to a friend that you think would enjoy, because word of mouth is the best way for us to grow. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Nerdiest Podcast. We will see you in the next one. But until then,
bye!